the competition for our attention is so great that we sometimes just passively go through life, and what comes our way is what we end up with, instead of deliberately, consciously carving out time with God in His Word, making a conscious choice to have, whether it's every other night, no television, or it's no television at all in the house, but sometimes we'll watch a movie or whatever it is, a DVD, or we'll rent, or we'll do this, or we'll do that, but where we have to make deliberate decisions instead of channel surfing. And I think that if we don't consciously choose to carve out time for reading God's Word and reading good books that promote sound doctrine, we will not deepen in our understanding of God's Word, we won't grow in our relationship with Christ, and we will be extremely vulnerable, and our children and grandchildren and anyone in our sphere of influence will be all the more vulnerable to false doctrine. I mean, if you think about Scripture, I think in 2 Timothy 4, where it says, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Now, that's an interesting wording. It's not just that they won't be getting sound teaching, they won't be hearing sound teaching, though often that's going to be true, but that when they do hear it, they won't endure it. That is, they won't put up with it. Why would they not put up with it? Well, because their culture is so strongly influencing them another direction, that when they hear the truth spoken at a church, in a Bible study, whatever it may be, or even they're reading a book, because the predominance of influence on their lives is whatever the current drift of culture is, then the things of God seem actually foreign to them. And they are increasingly alienated. So it's a vicious cycle, because one of the reasons that we're so vulnerable, the primary reason we're so vulnerable to false doctrine, is because we don't study doctrine. But the very little that we do study doctrine, then we go, well, that can't be right given what the world is saying. So when people now hear sound doctrine, they don't recognize it as sound doctrine. They tend to think, oh, this is just some weird, historic, almost cultish thing that some Christians have believed. But, you know, we're progressive, we're tolerant, we're what the world says a true follower of Christ should be. And hence the vulnerability that people have. One of the things that I've seen in recent years is the doctrine of universalism, what's called a Christian universalism, has made incredible inroads into evangelical churches, where there are people who, in conversation, you actually discover they're part of a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, evangelical church, and when pressed to the wall, they've read enough and heard enough out there in the world that they're believing that, you know, if there is a hell, and maybe there isn't even a hell, and I certainly don't want there to be a hell. I mean, who does? I mean, but do we get a vote, you know? But the point is that God loves everyone so much, and His primary attribute is love, which, by the way, the Bible does not say. I mean, love is extremely important, of course, but the angels in the presence of God do not day and night repeat the words, love, love, love is the Lord God Almighty. It's holy, holy, holy. Now, I'm not even saying holiness is more important than love. I mean, what can be more important than the love of God? But my point is, if you learn enough doctrine to hear that God is love, and then you're told that love is His most important attribute, then you start believing that, well, okay, I love people. If you love someone, you wouldn't send them to hell. You just wouldn't do that. And so what happens is, we take a true Christian doctrine, the love of God. Now, that's a real Christian doctrine. But we end up isolating it from his other attributes and other teachings of God's word, and we end up believing things that are false. And there are people in Bible-believing churches and sometimes on staffs of Bible-believing churches, and I've met them, that really quietly, or maybe not so quietly, in their small groups, they're just saying, you know what, I just don't think that anybody's going to go to hell forever because God just would never, ever do that. And in the end, and you can find certain Bible passages and take them out of context and, you know, and prove this point. And in the end, all are going to be saved. And God will have great glory because all people of all time will be in heaven and no one will be in hell. And isn't that magnificent? And that this is something that liberal churches, of course, have long believed. There's nothing new about this idea. What's new is that Bible-believing evangelical churches are filled with people who are more and more moving this direction. Now, that's only one example of false doctrine. But again, to read the whole thing in 2 Timothy 4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And this is actually happening today.